Well, good morning. Praise the Lord. That's what we've been doing. Amen. I want to start with a prayer. Lord Jesus, just be with us today. Thank you that you are a good, good Father, and we just ask that you would reveal more of yourself to us today, Lord. I pray that in our hearts we would comprehend who you are and what you've done for us. Amen. Well, if you haven't gathered yet what the message is about, you're a little dense. We've all have a father. And if we've been blessed, we've had a good father. But we all have a good, good father. And we know who that is. If you receive Christ into your life, you know that you have a good, good father. In Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6, it talks about who God is. And he says that he's the father to the fatherless, the defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. In God's house, he's a father, and all of heaven is his house. And he is making a house among us. So that's who he is. He is a father. When Jesus came to the earth, when he started his ministry, he started talking about the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he started to express the principles of the kingdom. But from man's point of view, the kingdom has a king. And as a king, you have servants, you have subjects, and you have the authority of the king telling you what to do. But Jesus comes and begins to express not a king, but a father. And if we look down through Matthew, he begins to say that your father who is in, he glorify your father who is in heaven. 5:16. In 5:45, he says, for you are his sons of the Father in heaven. In 48, we've already mentioned that it says your Father in heaven is perfect. Now we know that God is unable to lie. He is morally perfect. But it's saying more than that. He's more than just morally perfect. He is a perfect Father, which then dictates other things besides just being morally perfect. And that's some of the things that I wanted to talk about today. I have a list of 5 or 6 things that a father gives that I wanted to go over with us today. But before I get there, I just wanted to mention that if I've done this on occasion, I've asked people, well, tell me about your father. And they've often expressed different things from, you know, his love to how great he is to how he treated me horribly. And sometimes it's really bad, and so they didn't have a good father. But other times it's just, if the man was another man besides your father, you wouldn't have thought those things. Because you wouldn't have cared if he didn't encourage you. You wouldn't have cared if he never spoke that he loved you. But comes with someone who is your father comes expectations. Different than of another man. Because he's your father. There's something inherent beautiful about a father. And if he doesn't, if he's unable to fulfill what a father should be, then it brings hurt, it brings disappointment, it brings hardship to your life. But let's go through some of this list and see what a good father should be. The first one on my list is identity. Your father brings you identity. If you read the scripture in Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 3, it says, "For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named." See, our Father brings us identity. He names you. He calls you by name. And he begins to express out of who he is what your identity is. For me, I grew up on a small farm where my dad did other work as well. And that identity was I was a son of a farmer. The joke used to be in the family about the milkman. You know, the child is the father of the milkman, right? And the fact was, it was true in my life. My father was the milkman. But I grew up with identity as being a Zimmerman. And as a Zimmerman, I thought that was the most important family on the road. Well, it was mostly the family on the road. And out of that, you know, you grow up thinking your father is the strongest man in the world just because you identify with him. And if anyone spoke badly of my dad, boy, I would step up and that would be the worst thing you could tell me, is criticizing my father or my mother. Because I identified with them. And that's the way it should be with us, with Christ, is we identify with Christ. That should be our identity, who Christ is in our life. And it needs to become our identity. But the next thing I wanted to talk about is inheritance. A good father should give his children an inheritance. But if your father is not wealthy, that inheritance in financial means is very little. And I received very little from my parents financially. But every father gives a different and a better inheritance, and that's himself. My children make fun of me because I have the same dad jokes that my dad had. I have the same silly songs that he came out with. And I realize that I have the same attitude towards money that he has and towards work that he has. And so his inheritance is in me. Let's continue this verse. In whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to his riches in glory. He's granting us something from his riches in glory to strengthen that through his might, through his spirit into the inner man. You see, his inheritance is more than the glory that's in heaven that we think of, the streets of gold, the riches that he can give us from a cattle on a thousand hill. It's more than that. It says that the riches in glory strengthens us with the might through His Spirit into our inner man. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also you believed, that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is a guarantee of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the promise of His glory." What is this inheritance? The Holy Spirit is just a deposit of guarantee of the inheritance that we are already have as being His son. Well, what does the Holy Spirit do in our life? The Holy Spirit gives us the gifts of the Spirit, and He gives us the fruit of the Spirit. The inner man, our inner man, is changing from glory to glory because of the Spirit of God. And because we have the Spirit of God, we have a guaranteed inheritance that our inner man will be changed. I've preached, and others have preached, is that the inheritance is just a complete or a more of the Holy Spirit, and that is true. But what the Holy Spirit brings to us is the glory of God in our changed hearts. So our inheritance is great in the kingdom of God because we receive love, peace, joy, patience. I can't remember them all right now. All nine of them. Goodness of the Lord. The Father also brings blessings. In the Old Testament, the patriarchs on their deathbed would always have their children come before them, and they sought the blessing from their father. One of the most beautiful gifts that we receive from one another and from our Father is a blessing. When He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." When He says, "You are my precious one. Come, be with me in paradise." God is always giving us blessings. It talks about His goodness comes to us every morning, and they're renewed every morning. And the blessings of God just come to us and come to us. If we open our ears, we will see the blessings of God in nature, in the words from our friends and family, and it becomes something that gives us identity and gives us more of that inheritance. Last year, it was right after the funeral for my son-in-law. It was my son's fiance at the time's birthday, and we went out to breakfast. And before we went out, Lord spoke to me a blessing to give her on her birthday. So when we went into the restaurant, it was busy, it was all noisy, and I was thinking, "Oh God, I don't know if this will work." We were going for like a brunch. And right after we got there, all of a sudden everyone else left, and it was basically us and our family. And Joy was there without her family, but Carrie and all her family was there. So we were all there. And so when the meal was finishing up, I said, it's Lindsay's birthday today. I want to say something. And I was shocked because it was like, everybody's like, E.A. Hutton, and their ears turned to, my grandchildren who are always on their phones, put them down. They all were quiet and they were just listening, waiting. And I began first just to say, thank you for becoming part of our family. Thank you for loving my son, and thank you for how much you have given him. And then I began to say, I just ask that you would find, in this next year, you would find peace in your home, you would find joy in your home, and that you would find the presence of the living God. And she was crying because I don't know her full background with her own family. I know her father was Muslim, left early in her family, when she was very young. And she was raised by somewhat of a Christian family after that. But she received a blessing. And I believe that it will be something that is foundational in her life, because a blessing is something that is beautiful for all of us to receive. And we need to each give them to our children. We need to each give them to one another, because a blessing comes from the heart, and it needs to be brought not just with words, but with emotion. The next thing is security and shelter. A father always brings security and shelter, and it's more than just, not having the guns at the door and not letting the bad guys in. It's the shelter and security is more than that. Because I've talked with a lot of people that are so shook and not having security in their life just because their father or their mother were always arguing and crying and yelling at each other. And that just brings a lack of security in someone's life. So peace in the home is such an important thing, that we speak kindly to one another and that we lift each other up. Discipline, training, and teaching is another thing a father brings. And I love the scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, if you turn there, it starts off talking about discipline or chastening your son, and it basically says, if you do not do those things, you are treating them like illegitimate children. And so a true father brings discipline in a way that is godly into their home. And our father disciplines us because we are legitimate children. We are his children. And then the next point that I want to bring out in verse 10, it says that our fathers disciplined as it seemed good or fitting to them. He says, our father disciplines us for our profit. And here's the difference. I don't know if I've done this where I've yelled at my children at times when they were young because they were down on the floor making a lot of noise and I was trying to read something and I couldn't concentrate. And so I told them to be quiet because they were inconvenient to me. See, I discipline them for my profit. But God says he always disciplines us for our profit. It's for our benefit he does it. It's not because it makes him feel good, making us feel miserable. And then the last point with discipline is this, is that it produces a fruit of righteousness for those who are trained by it. See, all of us can be disciplined by our parents or by our Heavenly Father, and we can rebel. And we can have an attitude that we will not submit to that discipline. And if we do that, God may discipline us again because he still loves us, but we didn't learn anything. And so maybe we have to go through it again. But if we submit to the discipline of the Lord and we are trained by it, then we're able to produce a fruit of righteousness. The last scripture that I wanted to talk about today is in Matthew chapter 11. And in Matthew chapter 11 is a very famous scripture that we all quote at many times. It's at the end of Matthew 11, starting at verse 28. And it's the scripture that talks about, that we all quote that I'll get to it in a minute here. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then it says, "Take my yoke upon me and learn of me." And here's the point. Jesus is talking about work. It's a yoke. It's an instrument of burden. But he ends up telling us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light because it's his burden, not ours. So here's the point. When I went to college, for the first time I met a bunch of young men that either disliked their father or hated their father. And I couldn't figure out why, because I always had a love and a respect for my father. And then I realized that because of the way I grew up and the way that my father was, he was always having me go out and work with him on the farm. And it was his work on the farm. It was his farm. I was his son. And so he would often tell us, you know, we need to do this and do that. And he would come to me in the morning and wake me up and start telling me what we needed to do that day. And then I would sit there in bed and it would always wake me up because I began to think about, well, gee, how should we do that, right? And it always woke me up. And so when we got to the project, he would always ask, well, how should we do this? And he would make me work through the problem as well as what he was doing. So in the process, I learned about my father, what he was like and the way he behaved and the way he treated other people, how he dealt with buying calves and how he handled his business. So a good father needs to take their children alongside and make them part of their life, their working life. all of these things I think are not related to a farm as much as the times that you go on vacation and take your son or your daughter fishing and you begin to do things in a way that you're doing work together. Vacation is work. Especially camping, which was mostly what we did. The point is that I learned of my father by working with him, by doing his work. And so what this speaks to me is the father needs to bring a way to bring relationship to his children. And that's what God does. He brings us to a place to invite us into his work and to build not only, I mean, the reality God could do everything himself. What can he not do? Joni talked a little bit about today about witnessing to our friends and neighbors and whoever else. You know, God could do that supernaturally, right? But he invites us to come alongside and to do that with him. And so he's drawing us or asking us to come into his work for relationship, to build a deep relationship with him, more than just him giving us everything we need, more than just him giving us shelter and disciplining us, and more than maybe even just the inheritance, but that is something that cannot be limited in any way. But he invites us into relationship with him, to work alongside him, to do what he is calling us to do, so that we can wake up in the morning and have the Lord speak to us about what we are to do that day, and then we can go out and do it with him. And when we're done, it's more than a story about what I did. It's to the glory of God because it was his work. See, that's why it's not our glory. Because it would be our glory if we went out and did our work and accomplished something. But when we go out and do his work, no matter how great or small it is to his glory and not to ours. God, the Lord, well, Jesus said that the Father came to glorify Jesus and that he asks God the Father to give us part of that glory. And that's where it comes from, is that we receive the glory of God, which is the change of our character. It's our inheritance that we get through the Holy Spirit, and it allows us to enjoy the glory of God in every way. So, we serve a good, good Father. And it says that he is, our Father in heaven is perfect. That used to bother me, because how do you please someone who's perfect, right? Is he always going to find something wrong with what I said or did? But it's not that way, because he's not just the King of Kings. He's the Father of Fathers. He's my Father. And as a father, I am his son. And that is the most beautiful thing, being a son, a child of God, is more beautiful and more perfect than being anything else in the kingdom. It's better than being the greatest apostle. It's better than being the greatest pastor or teacher, though we may give them great respect. But God has given us more than that, because all those things will pass away in the future. When we enter into heaven, we will have no more prophets, no more teachers, no more apostles. The church will be built. But we will have sonship. We will be sons and daughters of the Most High. And that is the most beautiful gift that any of us can have, is to enjoy His presence and that He is our Father. Thank you, Lord.